Turn, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 3. 1 Samuel 3, and I would like to read a portion of Scripture, and then part of this will be our text. I'm going to begin in verse 1. This child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledst me." And he said, "I calledst not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." He answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, and then what we have in those verses is information in regard to Eli and his household. Skip down to verse 16. God spoke to Samuel, gave him that the information, and in the morning Samuel rose up. He was afraid to show Eli what God had revealed. Verse 16 says, "Then Eli called Samuel, and Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing which the Lord hath said unto thee?' And so then he revealed what God had given to him." Now the text before us tells of God's call to Samuel, and the dialogue reveals Samuel's responses. Now the words of Samuel struck me in such a way that I thought it necessary to pursue the content. So I searched the Scriptures to find the other places where the same or similar response is found. And the overview of these passages got me to thinking further about Samuel's response. And so we saw this a number of times through the passage. I want to speak to you today what I've entitled, "Here Am I." Here am I. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless this word to our hearts, and we ask that you would, Lord, just direct us unto your word today and cause us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, the message you've laid on my heart for your people at this time, may it be pleasing to you, honoring to you, and effectual as you work it in every heart. Just draw us to you, forgive us for our sin. And Lord, we ask if there's any here that is lost, that they might be saved today. We who are saved might be strengthened and to be following you as we should. Cause us to be faithful. And so we ask that you bless this time according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about "Here am I" today. Now, we extend and receive acts of communication all the time, and most commonly or most notably we are aware of the telephone and we call someone. Of course, when we receive a phone call, we pick that thing up and we say hello. Now obviously a call and a response is not limited to the telephone. There are so many things of which this might apply, and I'm going to give you examples in a little while of such things. But what I intend to do this morning is to review the passages where this phrase is found. In them is a call and a response. And while we notice the call, we want to learn something about the hearer or the responder. And from these references, we can also glean the sense of the phrase, "Here am I." And that being said, my concern is God's communication toward man, and then man's response toward God. As the old commercial says, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, my friend, we should be in tune with God, such that when he speaks, we listen. When he calls, we answer. When he requests, we volunteer. When he commands, we obey. Please bear with me as we consider this phrase, "Here am I." And may you look within your heart and see if, when God communicates with you, that you possess the attitude, "Here am I." When we think of the text, and we read these verses here in chapter 3, we went from verse 1 down through verse 11, skipped a few, and went to verse 16 through verse 17. And what we find is really the story of Samuel and the events of what's going on in his life. And he was a young man brought to the temple, dedicated to the Lord. And this was the time of the judges, rather, down at the end of their times. The judges were not very faithful at all and not doing as well as they should have been. And we have the priest, Eli, and his sons. They were not faithful. They were gone away. And Samuel is going to end up being the last judge over Israel. But he's going to be set up as a prophet. And if you would read in chapter 2 and into chapter 3, in chapter 2 it talks about how a prophet comes to Eli before the events of chapter 3 and prophesies to him, tells him about the sins of which his sons are committing and how Eli did not prevent that. And because of that, God was going to bring a judgment upon Eli, upon the priesthood, and raise up a new priest. And then we have chapter 3 with the introduction of Samuel's call from God and how God spoke to him, but he did not yet know the Lord. And we see the exchange within the passage. And of course, the number of times that God called Samuel, and Samuel says, "Here am I." And then he's running to Eli. "Here I am. What do you want?" Well, we saw that on three occasions. And he went to Eli those two times. He said, on the third time now, he says, when he speaks, you say, "Lord, I'm your servant. What is it you have to say?" And so when the Lord came to him again, spoke to him, and he said, "Lord, speak. I hear you." That's really kind of the same sense of "Here am I," isn't it? That's the idea. And so he responds to the Lord. And that's why I've chosen this passage, because that exchange was given so often and so repetitively that I wanted to think about this passage as the concept and the beginning for this idea of "Here am I." Now, a few quick observations about this passage itself. And simply said, there's a divine call that is expressed. God came to Samuel and called him Samuel. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you should go home this afternoon and start listening for an audible voice that's going to call your name. That's not likely to happen. It could if God chose to do so. But I believe that what God does is God works in our heart, moves by His Spirit, and draws us, and He'll speak to our inner being. And you need to be aware of that. You need to be in tune with God in regard to that. But our text is an audible call. Samuel, not knowing the Lord, was laid down. He was just a young boy, and he was laid down to sleep, and he hears this voice calling his name. He immediately thinks it's Eli, so he jumps up, runs to Eli. Well, that is a divine call, but certainly in verse 16, we saw another call which Eli expressed to Samuel, because on the next morning he said that he called him and said, "What is it that the Lord told you?" And so we have a divine call that's listed in this passage. We have a human call that's listed in this passage. But we also find that God's call, the divine call, was misapplied. I say that because God called Samuel, but who did he go to? He went to Eli. It was misapplied. He heard the call, he responded to the call, but he went the wrong way. And, God's call in this instance at the beginning was misapplied. But so may a human's call. We might make a call to someone and it might be misapplied. But those kind of calls can also go unheard, right? You ever made a call to somebody? Not necessarily a phone call, but you called somebody's name, made an address, did some sort of communication, and they did not hear you. That can happen. Sometimes the call may be ignored. They hear, but they keep on going. Kids are great about that. You know, parents talk to the children and they just like they're deaf all of a sudden. And they just keep right on moving. And, sometimes I've wondered about my children's hearing capability. But what I like to do in those kind of instances when they were young and they would not hear a word I was telling them and they just like they didn't hear me, I would softly say, after I've spoken loud enough to shake the windows, I would softly say, "Hey, you want a candy bar?" They jump up and come over, you know. They heard me. They heard me all along. They were just ignoring me. And sometimes the call is extended, but it's misunderstood. Well, we know that calls can happen. This call was misapplied by Samuel. He heard the call of God, but he thought that it was Eli. But our concern is not so much with the text, because out of this text does arrive the statement, "Here am I." And that's the phrase we want to think about for the message today. Now, these words are used 23 times in the Scriptures. 18 of them are applicable to what we're thinking about today. The other 5 times, the words are translated the same way, but they do not involve a call. So I'm not concerned about the 5, I'm concerned about the 18, because I'm thinking about a call and a response to the call. Here am I. Now, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, who is the authority of the Old Testament Hebrew word definitions, this word in the Hebrew simply means, and get this, lo. You ever see that word L-O with an exclamation point to it? Lo, or behold. That's what the word means. But here's what they say. When in response to a call, it indicates the readiness of the person addressed to listen or obey. Here I am. And that's how it's translated, is it not? And so we saw that really in verse 10 as it was rephrased for us when he said, you know, when next time that God calls, you respond to him this way and speak this way. God came to him and said, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. That's exactly the idea. And every time the call is presented, that's the idea. Speak, your servant hears. Lo, here I am. Behold, it's me. And so that's the concept. And so we want to think about these. I want to direct your attention, just listen if you will very carefully, to these 18 applicable verses where this word usage is found. Here am I. See if you get something out of this as we compare all the other passages. It will only take a minute or so to do this. In the temptation of Abraham, over in Genesis chapter 22, when God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, listen to verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So God came to Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Verse 7 of the text. As he was walking along, they got things ready, going toward the sacrifice to Mount Moriah to offer up the sacrifice. Verse 7 says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And so they make it up there. They offer the offering. They go up there ready to make the offering. Abraham gets ready to slay his son, and God stops him, right? The angel speaks to him. Verse 11 of that text says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Here am I. You see the exchange? God calls Abraham. He says, I'm here. Isaac says, my father? He says, I'm here. The angel speaks to him, Abraham, I'm here. Now over in Genesis 27, Isaac's request of Esau for venison, and this is when Jacob deceives his father and all that, but in chapter 27, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son? And he said unto him, behold, here am I. You get the idea? Over in Genesis chapter 31, Jacob reporting to his wives how he knew that he should choose the animal markings and tells of the vision that God gave to him. He reports and says, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob? And I said, here am I. Get the call? See the answer. Jacob sending his son Joseph to check on his brothers. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 13, it says this, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Now I want you to note here the command and then the willingness that which is expressed. He hears he's in the presence of Jacob, and you know what? Jacob says, this is what I want you to do. He says, here I am. Now, what does that give to you in thinking? He's willing to go. He's willing to do, isn't he? After hearing the command. Now then, in Genesis chapter 46, Jacob is encouraged by God to go down into Egypt. Joseph come up out of Egypt, said, hey, come to Egypt with me. Jacob needed a little encouragement. And it says in 46 verse 2, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. Here am I. Remember Moses when he encountered the burning bush there on the mount? Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, guess what? Here am I. King Saul's summons to meet the priest of Nob after David fled calls the priest unto him. 1 Samuel 22:12. Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Remember the Amalekites' account of Saul's requesting to help in dying? He was wounded in battle. He didn't want the Philistines to get him. And he asked this guy to kill him. 2 Samuel chapter 1, he reports to David, verse 7, And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. Saul said, Hey, you! And he said, Here am I. Remember of Isaiah's response after he saw the vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8? Listen, it says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. God comments of the blessings of it, upon Israel in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9. It says in the first part of that verse, Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Don't you want to hear that when you cry unto God? Don't you want to hear God say, Here I am? And then one time in the New Testament, these words are used. And it's found in Acts chapter 9. It was where God called Ananias to go to Saul, or Paul, who had just been converted. And in Acts 9:10 it says, And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias! And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And that word behold in the Greek is the same idea that was given in the Hebrew. It is a particle serving to a call of attention. Lo! Or as in this text in Acts chapter 9, Behold! And it's translated, Here I am. And you say, I'm not quite following along what you're talking about here in this Here I Am and the calls and the answers. Let me give you some practical ways of understanding this phrase. You're at home, you call your child. And so for me, I would say, Hey, Chad! And the child, in acknowledgement, would say, Well, I'm in here. Call, answer. You get that? Now, if you go to the playground or someplace like that where there's a lot of people, a parent calling a child in public amidst many others will say, call the name, and what happens? I'm over here. Call, response. God's calling these people. They're saying, I'm here. That makes sense? You follow that? You ever been in the classroom? Why, you've all been in the classroom. You ever taught in the classroom? Gave out the roll call? I've done both. I've been in the classroom, and I've taught in the classroom, and I've given roll call and received roll call. And they call out your name, and what do? Here? Here? Present? Sometimes you have these comical people in the class that goes, Yo! You ever hear that? Yeah, I've been in high school. I've heard those kind of things. What it is, it's a call and a response, isn't it? Isn't that what we find in all these verses? Why, even if you go to the doctor's office and they come out and call your name. Now, it's not always verbal. You don't always jump up and go, Here, I'm over here. You might in some instances. But generally, you either raise a hand or get up and just start walking toward the door. But there's a call and a response. Even the mere mention of a name provokes a response. If I'm walking along with my son, and he would say, Hey, Dad. Am I just going to ignore him, or will I respond to, Yes, son? Isn't that saying, Here am I? It is, isn't it? If we make a request for assistance, or a stated imperative usually is going to provoke a response, and you talk to somebody on the phone or speaking to them, and you, what will you say? I'm here for you. Get that? I'm here for you. You might be halfway across the world, but you say, I'm here for you. Get the attitude? Or even as we saw in Isaiah, where who will go for us? And he says, Here am I. Now, I trust that from these practical explanations and from the verses which we read, and I know I went through them very rapidly, but we're thinking about that phrase, Here am I. What do we glean from these things? And obviously, I'm only really concerned about the divine call. When God communicates with us, we need to respond to Him. How are you going to respond to Him. Well, when I think of the terms, here am I, first of all, I think it demonstrates mainly the idea of presence. It's vicinity, it's proximity to the call. Here am I. My son says, Dad, yes, I'm here. They call, Abraham, here am I. Proximity to the call. Now, I realize, just as I mentioned, that sometimes it's not in body, but it's in spirit. Again, you could be at a great distance, but you're with them in mind and with them in spirit. But generally, the idea, we make a call, someone is there, right? And so if I speak to my wife, she can respond. If God speaks to you, you know what? You're in the presence of God. God's speaking to your heart. Now, as we see these responses, even of Samuel. Samuel's there, God calls to him. And he says, here am I. Now, of course, he's running into Eli because, well, he's just in the next room over. And he figures Eli's calling him. So the presence, the proximity idea, here am I. But when we make that response, when God calls us and we would respond, here am I submit unto you that in the second sense the call is heard and understood. It's heard and understood. God called Abraham. He said, here am I. That tells me Abraham understood his name and knew it was him. And so he heard it and understood it. If I call somebody, if I call you by name, I asked Brother Crawford a question earlier. You know what? You didn't respond. He did. Why? Because I was addressing him. The call was to him. And that was clear and it was understood. So when the call goes forth and they say, here am I, it not only denotes proximity or presence, it mentions the matter that it's been heard and been understood. In a third sense, there's the recognition that the call belongs to you. Again, you didn't answer for Brother Crawford. He answered for himself. And when God called Abraham, he spoke to Abraham. When Eli called Samuel and said, what did God tell you? Samuel spoke to him, didn't he? When God called these people, they responded because God was speaking to them. When we say, here am I, we understand, we've heard it, we recognize it, we understand it, and we know it belongs to me. And so if my son would say, hey, Mom, I don't answer. If he says, hey, Mom, I don't go, what, son? I don't do that. If he says, hey, Dad, no, I'll answer. She doesn't answer for me. We know how that works. But when we say, here am I, what else happens? In the fourth sense, it is an acknowledgement of hearing the call. You ever talk to somebody and they just don't even respond and you're wondering whether they even listened to you or not? And you'll go, did you hear what I said? Well, yes. Well, say something. Isn't that the idea? Now, if God called Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he didn't say a word. Now, God being God would know that Abraham heard him anyway. However, how would you really know? If I speak to you and you don't acknowledge, how would I know? How would you know? How would I know that you know? I call Brother Crawford. Brother Crawford, I ask you that question. And he doesn't answer anything. Brother Crawford? Hello, Brother Crawford? Earth to Brother Crawford? Yeah. Isn't that what we say? Well, what do we find when we say, here am I? It's acknowledgement of heard the call. So if I call to Chad, and if I walk in the house and go, hey, Chad, I expect him, if he hears me, to go, yes, Dad, or I'm in here. In the fifth sense, the call is responded to. And you have to think of this as one step further because we're thinking about the here am I as a call and a response to the call. A call is responded to. However, the content or intent of the call may be responded to positively or negatively. By that, I mean this. We saw the instance there where Jacob called Joseph and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Shechem. Now, what if Joseph arrives into the presence and says, here I am, what do you want me? And tells him, and he says, nah, I'm not going to do that today. I won't go. Well, he heard the call, responded to the call, but he didn't follow the intent of the call or the content of the call. Does that make sense? You have in the New Testament scriptures where God gives an example of a command given to their sons to go out into the field. One says he'll go and the other says he won't. And the one that says he would go ends up not going. And the one that said he wouldn't go ends up going. And he says, which one did the father's will? Well, certainly the one that obeyed. But they both heard the command. And so you can hear a call and you can recognize that call's to you. But the intent and the content of that, you may not choose to follow. Does that make sense? And so we see from these examples that that's part of it. That's part of the answer. Here am I. Now let me give you a few considerations when we think about this phrase, here am I. This tells me there's a listening ear. That is, it's open and ready for instruction. They can hear. One of the things that aggravates me now in this modern society is the iPods and the double earphones. I hate those things because Chad will have those things on and go through the house, and I try to talk to him, and he doesn't hear me because he's listening to music. I hate that. I always tell him, leave one off so you can hear me. Because if he's plugged up, he can't hear. And so, you know, if you have a listening ear, if you say, here am I, you have a response. You have a listening ear. We need to be listening, open, ready for instruction. Not only a listening ear, there's an availability. Samuel, Samuel, I hear you. I'm here. I'm available. There's a willingness, a sense of compliance, a sense of pliability. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Yes, God, what is it? Your will is my command. But I also submit unto you that this here am I and the response is a personal one. Here am I. Here am I. Now sometimes we try to make people do, and we really can't do that, can we? Now as a parent, we might be able to force our children to do certain things. But I'll just about guarantee you that as a spouse, you're going to find it a very difficult thing to force your husband or your wife to do certain things. And if you can manipulate that, you'll eventually regret it. You can't make other people do. And you can't answer for other people. And so if God speaks to me, you can't answer for me. You can't go, well, there he is. If God speaks to my heart and communicates to me, I need to respond to God. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. And I realize, and this is what we need to keep in mind, we will tune our ears to hear specific voices. Kids are very good at that. They can pick a voice out. And a mother can do that, picking out the voice of a crying baby. You can have a room full of babies, and they're all crying but one, and the mothers whose child is not crying will say, that's not mine. You know why? The ear is tuned to the voice. Here's the sound. And you know what? You need to be tuned to God. Tune in to the Lord. Are you able to hear His voice? Are you able to recognize that God is speaking to you? Now, regarding the call, I think it should be said that a call, and I've already discussed this earlier, but a call may be misapplied. It might be unheard, might be ignored, or it might be misunderstood. And so when God speaks to us, we might misapply it. And when God speaks to us, we might not hear it. You know why? Because we're so busy with the things of the world. We got the earphones in. We got the plugs going on. We got the world blaring in our ears. We cannot hear God speak to us. Now, again, you understand I'm not talking in a physical sense. But spiritually speaking, we have the world blaring in our ears, and we cannot hear God. And so the call will go unheard. Sometimes God will speak to us, and we flat ignore it. We hear the voice of God. We know He's calling our name. We know He's directing us. And we just keep right on our merry way like we never heard Him. And sometimes God speaks to us and directs us. We hear, we understand, at least we think we understand. And then we misunderstood. God's saying this one thing, we're doing something else. And you know, when you think about a call could be a good or bad call. It could be that which is right, that which is wrong. You think of a bad call. You remember Homer's Odyssey talks about the sirens and those bird women over there on the cliffs singing, drawing in the sailors to their destruction. And we hear the call of the wild. So Jack London wrote that book about that dog by the name of Buck. Not that I'm a literary person, but I just happened to look that up. The call of the wild. But we know what that means in our society, don't we? You take a young person getting up in years, you know, getting up there 18, 19, 17, 18, 19, and they early 20s, and they hear the call of the wild. We know what that means. And what it is that which is wrong, that which is of the world, got a hold of their heart, and that's what they're pursuing. It's kind of like the prodigal over there in Luke chapter 15. Huh? When he says, give me my inheritance, and he goes away into the foreign land and wastes the substance with riotous living. He heard the call of the wild. Now, I said that sometimes the call of God may be misapplied. Truth of the matter is, sometimes God's communicating with us, and we think it's the world. And sometimes the world's communicating with us, and we think it's God. And so every now and then we'll make a big mistake, won't we? Because we'll say, well, God's telling me to do this. God never said a word about it. But we think he did. You have to be very, very careful. You have to make sure that God's leading you, God's directing you, and God is calling you. Because a call can be misapplied, it might be unheard, might be ignored, or might be misunderstood. And not all calls are good calls. Now look into this text a couple times, and then we'll be drawing this down to a conclusion. Look back in verse 7. I want to direct your attention. These last two points about this phrase, here am I. Not knowing the Lord is a hindrance in hearing and responding to his call. Verse 7, it said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And so God was calling unto him and speaking to him, and Samuel could not respond. You know why? Because he didn't know the Lord. And not knowing the Lord is a hindrance in hearing and responding to his call. And so if you're lost, you know what? You need Jesus Christ. But that's not always easy to convey to someone, is it? Now in verse 8, one other thing. As those who know the Lord, we can help others recognize the Lord's call. So what happened when it finally dawned on Eli that God was calling Samuel? What did he do? He said in verse 8, oh, well, next time you do this, he said it, so he perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 8, the last part of the verse. So then he gave him instruction. And so, you know, lost people, when they're trying to find the Lord, when they're trying to find resolution of things in their life, you know, they're not going to hear the Lord's voice very well. But as Christians, you can be a help of that. You can be an assistance. You can take the Word of God, show them, instruct them, and lead them, and help them. And so we see in the text a call and an answer. The phrase is, here am I. You get the gist through all those things. We've discussed so many aspects of it. Well, since I'm concerned about a divine call, divine interest, I want to give to you very rapidly calls of God. Now, there are certain things we can mention, and by the way, I don't mean to imply that everything that we do is a call of God in the sense of people say, well, I'm called to do this, I was called to do that, and I was called to do that. God leads, God guides, and God directs us, and I believe his communication to us, I'm just using it as a matter of God's call, because I'm talking about a call and a response. Now, there's a call to sanctification. And I don't use that in the sense of a vocation. God communicates with us that we ought to be a sanctified people as Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. In 1 Peter 1:15 it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Do you really have to get any more proof than that? You already heard the call. God's call is, be a holy people. Now, your response is, are you going to go, here am I? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to misapply it? Or what are you going to do with it? But God says, be holy. How will you respond? That's God's communication to you. There's a call of submission or surrender. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said in another place, in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's a communication from God that we need to be given to him, dedicated to him, surrendered to him, in full submission to God. That's the call to us. How will we answer? Will we say, here am I? There's a call to service. Of course, we know there's a call to service. In Matthew 10, verse 5, it records for us that the 12 were sent forth by Jesus Christ, and he commanded them to go and to give the message. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, as an example, we see that says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. There are specific calls to vocation. I understand that. I believe I've been called into the ministry. And when God put that call in my heart, and when he communicated that to me, I had to respond. And I said, here am I. Prior to that, before God placed me into the ministry and called me to preach, God laid on my heart a complete submission and a surrender as a young Christian and a teenager that I would be willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. And I just simply said, here am I. Here am I. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. God communicated that to me, and I said, here am I. God has spoken to you. God gives you the word. You know you ought to be sanctified. You know you ought to be submitted. You know you ought to be surrendered. And you know what? If God calls you, you need to surrender to the call. every now and then I'll run into men out in the public or out in churches, and they'll say, "Well, I believe that God called me to preach, but I never did really do it." Well, that's a tragedy right there. I mean, men here today, if God's calling you and speaking to you about the ministry, you best hear, because that really is the best thing to do. You need to be saying, "Here am I. Here am I." But then finally, I want to submit unto you before I draw a conclusion. There's a call to salvation. Now, of course, we understand in theology there's a general call and there's an effectual call. In a general call, the call is made to all. And so we speak to any man anywhere. You repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Sinner, I want you to know, God commands you to repent. Acts 17 will tell you that. Commands you to repent. You've heard the call. Would you be saved? We implore you, we urge you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you say, "Here am I"? But then we know, of course, there's the effectual call. And we don't have time to cover all these things, but John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." In John 6, 63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing." If you hear the general call, you should say, "Here am I." You God tugging at your heart, God drawing you, you should say, "Here am I." You're here and you're lost today. Are you concerned about your situation, condition? You know, if you died like that, you're going to split hell wide open. God's calling you. Would you repent? Would you believe? He commands you to repent. Dear lost person, you should be saying, "Here am I. Here am I." So in conclusion, there are a variety of calls. We understand that. I encourage you to listen to only to the right one, to the righteous ones. And of course, today I'm emphasizing God's communication. Is God speaking to your heart today as a Christian? God leading you, God guiding you, God directing you, God drawing you? Will you hear? You're here and you're lost. God's dealing with you. There's an unrest in your heart and you know it and you can't find the answer. God's dealing with you. You're thinking about God. You never really thought about it much before. God's communicating. I encourage you today, be listening. Be willing. Be responsive. Here am I. Here am I. And the entire message should give you the gist behind those words. Here am I. Christian, God's speaking to you about your life. Say, "Here am I." God's speaking to you about serving Him, say, "Here am I." God's speaking to you about laboring within the church and helping and doing things around here, say, "Here am I." God talking to you about reading your Bible and witnessing, say, "Here am I." God talking to you about tithing and being faithful, here am I. God talking to you about church membership or church fellowship, being in attendance when the services are on, here am I. And if you're here and you're lost, God's speaking to your heart. Will you be responsive? Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you simply say, "Here am I. Here am I." There's a lot behind those three words, isn't there? A lot that can be said and a lot that has been said. But you go back to the story we read about Samuel. And you can glean all these things in those other passages. And I just encourage you to be responsive to God as He speaks to you. And say, "Here am I." Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, here am I. I'd like for us to stand and sing, "Brother Paul, would you please come?" I appreciate your patience and your kindness, your attention today, and I pray that God's spoken to your heart. I know that's a little different aspect of looking through the Scriptures, but I hope and pray it's been a blessing to you. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Bless your word as only you can. If there's any here today that is lost, I ask that you would, by your Spirit, convict them of their sin, draw them to you. God, grant unto them repentance and faith that they would respond, "Here am I." Say the lost today. May we who are saved, as you lead, guide, and direct us, as you move in our hearts by your Spirit, as you convict us, and as you reveal things to us through your word, may we be responsive and willing and obedient, saying, "Here am I." God calls us to be what we need to be. And we can only be that in you, because Jesus said, without me, you could be nothing. Lord, let us be found faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?